Sports Time Radio. All sports, all the time.
It's time to roll out the Friday edition of Sports Time Radio. I'm the Big Jack, and hey, you know what happens on Friday.
Start spreading the news.
Yep, that music means Schomburg Stu is here. Stu, how you doing?
Doing okay now that our driveway isn't frozen over anymore.
So, all right, well, if you'd like to call into the podcast, talk to Stu or possibly I, 646-478-3753 is the number to do that. If not, feel free to email us, sportstimeradio@hotmail.com. Now, anything else you need, head over to sportstimeradio.com. The blogs go up over there on Wednesdays and Saturdays, so look for something popping up there sometime tomorrow morning. Of course, while you're at sportstimeradio.com, go ahead and hit that link, get yourself over to the Sports Time Radio Facebook page. And you know the deal. You went all the way over there. You might as well go ahead and give that a like. But don't forget we have the Twitter feed, which is at Sports Time Radio. Now, we still don't quite yet have Stu on Twitter, but feel free to reach out to me at Burke Time, and I can forward any message you might have along to Stu. So that will work out for us, I hope. All right, so we got a pretty big football weekend. Mine actually starts tonight. We have our playoff fantasy draft, so we'll see how that goes for me. But we get six games this weekend, and for the first time we get a Monday night game. Is there a game you're looking forward to more than the other one since the Bears aren't playing?
The Monday game sounds awfully interesting to me.
So, yeah, well, we kick things off tomorrow. We got the Raiders at the Bengals, and then that'll be followed by the Patriots at the Bills. Sunday we get three games. We get the Eagles at the Buccaneers, the 49ers at the Cowboys is the middle game, and then the night game there is the Steelers at the Chiefs, and then the Monday night game, which you said you found the most interesting, was the Cardinals at the Rams. So there's our setup.
There are a few other interesting games, of course. The Buffalo-Kansas City game should be quite interesting. No, that's right. Buffalo's not playing Kansas City, or are they? I'm trying to remember now what the
match is. Buffalo, New England, Buffalo, and Pittsburgh is Kansas City.
That's right. Yeah, New England, and I wonder if New England can pull the upset.
Yeah, you know, the Saturday games, I think, are really interesting. Philadelphia, Tampa Bay doesn't thrill me. Neither does Pittsburgh at Kansas City. But, you know, San Francisco at Dallas could be good. And, I wonder about the Monday game. I know Arizona is really good on the road, so that kind of intrigues me. But, you know, they don't have their best receiver, and nobody else has really stepped up. So I don't know how that game's going to play out.
If I were a betting man, I would definitely go with the Rams on that one.
Yeah, you know, I'm leaning towards the Rams. I don't know what the point spread is there. If it was big enough, I might, you know, actually go the other way. Let's see if I can grab it here real quick. But being a playoff game, I wouldn't think it would be too much because these teams had fairly similar records. As of right now, the Rams are favorite by 4 points, so that's not too big of a line there.
No. Don't forget, though, that Arizona, over the last couple of months, haven't played up to their previous high standards.
No, they have not. They have had their issues. Of course, that also coincides with the fact that you know, their best receiver, DeAndre Hopkins, is out. He won't, you know, he's not going to be playing. They do apparently, looks like it's going to get they're going to get J.J. Watt back. I don't know how much he'll be able to play or how much it'll help, but I guess just his presence on the field might be something they'll the Rams will have to look at.
I'm sure, but that should be an interesting game. I'm looking forward to that, and at least it'll give us something to watch on Monday night. Now, I did want to ask you one thing on the San Francisco-Dallas game. I think Dallas is the home team in that one. What's the line? In the game? Do you know offhand who the favorite is?
Yeah, Dallas is currently a 3-point favorite.
And I suspect there could very well be an upset in that game. It wouldn't surprise me if San Francisco wound up winning that one.
Yeah, with the way San Francisco controls tempo and they have a pretty solid defense, they could win. My question is, which Dallas team shows up? Do we get the Dallas team that has the fantastic offense and can just blow teams out, or do we get the Dallas team that's going to struggle?
Yeah, that's maybe why the line is only 3 points, and they have been wildly inconsistent.
Yeah.
And boy, when they're good, they're great, but there's no in between with that team. When they're bad, they are just awful.
Yeah, that's the shortest line so far this weekend. Tomorrow, I was a little surprised by this one. The Bengals are actually a 5.5-point favorite in the first game, and then the Bills are a 4.5-point favorite. If I was going to lay money, I would probably take the points in both those games. I do think the Bengals-Raiders game will go over whatever the over ends up being, because both those teams can score. But I think it would be close enough. And then with the weather, the way they're saying it's going to be in Buffalo, I like the points in a close game there.
Are they predicting the typical Buffalo snowstorm?
They're not saying snow, but they're saying like below zero temperature.
Yeah, that's worse than snow. Well, Buffalo, of course, is well known for having many games played in just awful weather conditions over the years.
So, yeah, and then, the big point lines come on Saturday. The Tampa Bay is favored by 8.5, and then Kansas City is favored by 12.5.
You think that's a little too much on the Kansas City game?
Well, I think they're both a little too much for a playoff game. You got to remember, Philadelphia can run the football. That's pretty much what they do. They run the football, and, that if they're successful, that's going to keep Tampa Bay's offense off the field. I fully expect Tampa to win, but 8.5 is a big number to cover. If I was going to lay one of the bigger numbers, I'd probably lay the 12.5 on Kansas City, because Pittsburgh, they just kind of snuck in, and I don't know what you're going to get out of them. So I could see Kansas City winning by a couple touchdowns, but I'm not sure Tampa Bay beats Philadelphia by more than a touchdown.
Yeah, that's quite a spread. And Pittsburgh, I don't know, I think Pittsburgh's going to keep it a little bit closer than most people think, although I think they'll probably wind up losing the game. But that's a big line. I don't think that Kansas City will win by that many points.
No, and it's odd because, Kansas City really hasn't shown anything that they're going to blow teams out. And Pittsburgh can rush the quarterback, which gives Kansas City trouble. If you remember going all the way back to the Super Bowl last year, that's how Tampa Bay beat them. They got to the quarterback. And that's the one thing Pittsburgh does really well is rush the quarterback.
Yeah, there are some intriguing games, for sure. And one game I think will be quite intriguing, I think, is the Cincinnati game, because I'm not quite sure they're going to even win the game, despite the fact they have a good offense.
I do, I do have my questions about them, you know, and I would really like to know the condition of Joe Burrow. You know, he came out of that Kansas City game with the knee injury. They didn't need him the final week of the year, so he didn't play. You know, the Raiders are another team that can rush the quarterback, and if I remember correctly, they actually led the NFL in quarterback hurries. So if Burrow has any issues with that knee, that Raider pass rush may get to him. Of course, Cincinnati can run the football with Joe Mixon, and they do have Ja'Marr Chase, who, you know, will be Rookie of the Year. So it should be a fun game to watch, and it's a tough game to pick as well.
Yeah, I do think there will be a couple of upsets over the weekend.
So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised to see the Raiders win. You know, it wouldn't shock me to see, like, the Patriots or even the 49ers win their games either.
No, that's one game that I think would not surprise me, the San Francisco-Dallas game, because I don't have a lot of faith in Dallas because they're just so inconsistent from one game to the next.
Yeah, you know, that's been my problem is I just don't know which Cowboy team shows up. I mean, they have all the weapons you would want on offense, but I just don't know, will they put it together?
That's the big question.
So.
But it's going to be nice to see some playoff football over the weekend at least, right, and including Monday.
Yeah, you know, well, of course, obviously, you know, the Monday one, I won't get to see the whole game, but I should be able to make it through the weekend games. So
maybe you'll be able to see at least the first quarter in the Monday game, but that's kind of stretching it, huh?
Yeah, you know, the tough part with these is, you know, we're going to get the extra commercial BS and all that stuff because it's the playoffs, so it's going to stretch the games out longer than they normally are.
Exactly, and that always bothers me, and I guess you can't do anything about that because the players get paid so much money, and there's going to be a lot of commercials, but it does seem to affect the ebb and flow of the game, and I don't like that, but we have no choice in the matter, do we?
No. It's just kind of how it goes.
How many networks are they spread out over the weekend, by the way? Are they just on two networks or are they three networks?
It's four.
Yeah, it's four networks. You know, the usual four networks. It's CBS, NBC, Fox, and then ESPN. Who is also simulcasting on ABC the Monday night game. So
I often wonder, they've done that a couple times before, and I can't figure out why they would do that.
Yeah, I've often wondered, and I don't know if they're doing the Manning cast. I haven't seen. So, because they only have the Monday night game out of this first round, and I don't know if they get any more after that.
So you're speculating that perhaps it could be a different announcing team for both games, and maybe from a different angle, a camera angle perspective from both feeds?
You know, they do that sometimes. You know, like they did that for the national championship game with Georgia and Alabama. I don't know if or what the plans are for this game. You know, I haven't heard. You know, to be honest, I haven't really looked into it. It's not anything I'm all that interested in. So.
Yeah, I'll have to check both of those feeds on Monday night just to see if there's any differences.
But, yeah, and interestingly, Fox does not have a game tomorrow. It's NBC and CBS. So Fox only gets one game over the wild card weekend.
Yeah, that is surprising.
So, and I don't really, like I said, I don't remember who's doing the Super Bowl, but I wonder if maybe Fox is, and that's why they're only getting the one game.
Yeah, it's hard to keep track of that. I mean, it's planned years in advance, yeah. And I'm sure if we looked it up, we could find it out. But you may be correct about it being Fox this year.
Yeah, I'm sure if I jump ahead in the scheduling here, it'll tell me who's televising it. Actually, it's NBC this year. So
okay.
That's even more interesting that we only get the one wild card weekend game. I wonder if they'll make it up to them in one of the other rounds or how that's going to work out.
Yeah, that is surprising, but maybe, as you pointed out, if the playoffs continue, maybe they'll get an extra game or two to make up for the fact they only get one this weekend.
So, because, yeah, I'm sure I would like to think it's doled out pretty evenly, but then again, you never know.
Of course, of all these games that are being televised over the weekend, there aren't any that are in direct competition with each other. They stagger the times. For example, I believe CBS is a game tomorrow night, if I'm not mistaken, in prime time.
Yeah, CBS has the night game. They have them pretty well spread out. It's a 3:30 start on NBC and then 7:15 on CBS. And then Sunday we get the regular noon start. That's the Fox game. And then 3:30, just like a normal Sunday. Sunday's pretty normal, and then the night game starts at 7:15. So, you know, that's a general Sunday lineup. And then the Monday game is a 7:15 start.
Right. I'm wondering, there's a time window situation. What happens if there's a overtime game? And a game is scheduled to start at 7:15. Would they delay the start of that game if there's an overlap in time?
You know, it is possible, and I know they have done that before. I don't know if they would do it on wild card weekend because it's you know, the wild card teams. But, like, if it was a conference championship, they would delay.
Yeah, which is fair to the football public for sure.
So yeah, because you know they don't want to lose those viewers because I mean, you know, every viewer is going to go. Well, every football fan is going to go just from one game to the other. You know, especially if you don't have a horse in the race like we don't, because
right.
The Bears were nowhere close to making the playoffs. So,
are you going to be in for all the games over the weekend? Excluding Monday night.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'll definitely watch. You know, as much of them as I can. You know, there's not really much else going on. You know, interest wise. You know, I'm not a big NBA fan, and the Blackhawks. Well, I know the Blackhawks are playing Saturday, but that's not really enough to draw my interest away, except maybe during a commercial.
Yeah, but if one of the games turns out to be a blowout in the fourth quarter, then it's pretty hard to watch when one team has a 21-24-point lead with about 5 or 6 minutes to play. I might just give up at that
point. Yeah, it can be tough, but, you know, again, there's not a ton on. I don't know if, anybody is even, if they even wasted their time scheduling national programming against it.
No. A lot of programs are, when the playoffs start, a lot of the normally scheduled programs are preempted because of the playoff football games.
Yeah. You know, that, or I know they'll show reruns just to not have to go up against the NFL.
Yeah. And they even do that in the premium channels too, I think, especially for the Super Bowl, They'll even on a Showtime or HBO on a weekly program, they may delay it a week because they don't want to be in conflict with the Super Bowl, for example.
Yeah, I know there are networks who will advertise, you know, programming to women, like they don't think women would watch, you know, if they think women won't watch the Super Bowl, you know, or football as a whole. But generally for Wild Card Weekend, they don't do that.
No, and of course, are they, after the wild card weekend we're coming up with, are their games scheduled next week as well? Is there any bye week, other than there's always a bye week between the final championship games and the Super Bowl? But other than that, are there any delays? 1 week when there's no games at all?
No, that the only bye week is the Super Bowl week, and I believe we get the Pro Bowl that week. So you'll still have football to watch.
And that's pretty hard to watch, those games, though. The Pro Bowl has certainly lost its luster over the past decade.
To be fair, it's only hard for certain people to watch because, believe it or not, it actually does a really good rating.
I'm surprised. I'm really surprised because...
Yeah,
I
don't enjoy
it at all.
But it for whatever reason, it does a very good rating. I know it was down last year, but even so, it was still a good rating.
Yeah. In fact, none of the All-Star games or any of the sports really do much for me. I almost never watch a game to its completion or more than...
Well, you know, the only one that is actually a semblance of what the sport is anymore is baseball.
That's true. Yeah, one
so,
time
you
I
know,
guess it doesn't hold true anymore. One time it meant something too.
That's
it really meant something, but not no longer.
So you know, because I mean, when you look at it, I mean, it's hard to manipulate a baseball game.
Right.
But you know, the other one, you can mess with, and they have.
Yeah, they have a strange format now in hockey. Very unusual.
Yeah.
Strange format in a hockey playoff game, and I would not even consider looking at the NBA All-Star game, despite the fact that it looks pretty convincing that now that a couple of the Bulls will probably be in the starting lineup, but it's hard to watch that game.
So yeah, it's definitely no interest to me. I mean, they play zero defense, and, you know, it's just not worth the trouble.
Yeah, we discussed this before, but I'm looking for the day eventually when the All-Star basketball game, the NBA basketball game, both teams score over 200 points.
Yeah, you have to wonder if we're getting there, you know. So...
as you pointed out, zero defense.
Yeah. I mean, it's ridiculous the way it's changed and, you know, all the other things that have happened.
Yeah, and of all the All-Star games, that's the one I think I enjoy the least.
Yeah, it's not an entertaining game to watch at all. I mean, I honestly don't understand why people watch it. It makes no sense to me.
Yeah, and despite the fact that they only play an inning or two in the baseball All-Star game, that's usually a fairly decent competitive contest.
Yeah, well, you know, it's hard to mess with baseball. You know, I mean, you can't do the things that these other sports do to their game to change it.
No, that's true.
So
I'd have to say, though, over the last 10 to 15 years that the American League has a wide lead on the National League in games won.
Yeah.
And you remember not so long ago when the winning team would have the odd game of the home field advantage in the World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, there was a lot of complaining about that. They didn't like that at all. So
no, and but it lasted for quite a while. That was a long time. They had
their
rule in place.
I mean, at least they tried to give the game meaning.
They did,
but you know, that was you know, just something the players cried about, which doesn't surprise me because that's what they do.
That's what they do. The players love to cry, especially in baseball.
Yeah. Now, did you see they actually had a meeting where the owners made a new proposal, but the players had no interest in it?
I did not see that. I checked the sports headlines today and didn't see anything about that, but it must be something fairly recent. But
I believe the meeting was yesterday.
They didn't even discuss it. They wouldn't even go to acknowledge the proposal change.
You know, I'm trying to remember the term I saw. I don't remember. They had a terminology for what they described the players' union reaction as. And I don't know if uninterested was it or how it was put off, but basically what came out now is it looked like spring training is going to be delayed.
Yeah, I was just going to ask you that question based upon that. What happened? It definitely appears to me that we will see a delay in the spring training, which is not a good thing at all.
Yeah. So it's just ridiculous that these two sides can't sit down and get something worked out so we can have baseball.
If they finally decided to have a season and there'll be a short, much shorter than usual spring training, what concerns me is the fact that if they do it that way and they start the season on time, there's going to be a lot of injuries popping up at the beginning of the season.
They do have, if you're interested, there is a full report on MLB.com about the league's new proposal, what they were offering, and some of the things that the union wants. Now, this meeting was initiated by Major League Baseball. The players didn't initiate this meeting. So
we're laymen. Let's face it. No, we're not in the organization by any stretch, but it seems to me that from a logical point of view, from a reasonable point of view, it would seem to me that with so much money involved, that they could come up with some kind of a reasonable compromise and settle this thing.
Yeah, well, apparently the union wants as they put it here, a substantial overhaul of the sports economic system. So obviously that's going to be a big stumbling point.
Well, the players as it is right now make an enormous salary. Even the fringe players make a nice living playing baseball. Yeah, maybe they'll only be in the league 2 or 3 years before their career is over with. But even so, that they make a nice living compared to what they did 20, 30 years ago. So why are they being so greedy?
Yeah, well, and the proposal yesterday by Major League Baseball included what was described as a significant increase in pay for players with 2-plus years of service time.
And even that wasn't enough to cause them to sit down and say, hey, that sounds like a good start. Let's sit down and talk about it.
Yeah, no, apparently, you know, and there were some other things here. Apparently, the baseball's proposal included an NBA-style draft lottery, a universal DH, an increase to the minimum player salary, an increase to the competitive balance tax, and elimination of the qualifying offer system. And that would, of course, remove all draft pick compensation from any free agent. So there was a lot there. The only thing I could see there that the players would want would be the arbitration system being changed.
Yeah, that's an important issue, of course.
So.
Wow. Well, they offered some substantial points on the table, and at least they would sit down and look at it before summarily ejecting it offhand.
And they also want a 14-team postseason.
That's
so. Yeah, I mean, you know, and I know the owners take a lot of blame for this, but they, you know, at least they're trying to talk. It doesn't seem as though the players don't want the season to start on time.
And why would that be? I mean, what thinking would prompt them to come up with that decision? Why?
You know, maybe they think they can get the owners to cave on more if the season is delayed. Because, you know, that's where the owners lose their money when they don't play games.
Yeah, and I think that's diluting the product a little too much when you're advocating for 14 teams in the playoffs.
Yeah, that's a lot. So, but, you know, more playoffs means more playoff revenue. So
yeah,
if you're going to increase the salary, this way you pay for those salaries that way.
Right. And the more teams that are involved in the playoffs means one more thing. The best team's not always going to win it.
Yeah. So.
Well, we'll see what happens. It will be really nice if they could settle it by the end of the month. But, hey, we're halfway through, halfway through January already.
Yeah.
And there's no movement whatsoever.
You know, yeah, I don't, you know, I just, I'm, you know, I had hope at first, but I'm really starting to lose it quickly here.
You never know, though. Something could open up next week. It would be nice if there would be some kind of movement and maybe at least sit down at the bargaining table and talk.
Yeah, I would be happy if I just knew if they had another meeting scheduled, but I didn't see anything about that either.
No. And
so,
dare we speculate on the fact that the season is going to be delayed, the regular season?
They're already speculating on that because obviously if, you know, spring training gets delayed, that'll push back the start of the season.
And the average fan is not going to sit. This is not going to sit very well for the average fan because they got enough on their plate right now with what's going on with COVID and economics and everything else. At least they have baseball to look forward to. And now, as you pointed out many times, millionaires and billionaires fighting it out over money and everything else. It's not going to make the average fan very happy.
No. No, definitely not. It's not going to make me very happy, and I think I'm a little more than the average fan.
No, and I always just look forward to it. Always look forward to spring training. It's almost like being reborn. Oh, the cycle has changed. We're going into a warmer weather again. Baseball time is here. But boy, without that, things are even more discouraging than usual.
I love the start of it. It's fantastic for me, but, you know, if they're going to make me wait again, and, you know, like with COVID, I understood. There wasn't anything they could do about that. You know, you had to take everybody's safety into, you know. But this has nothing to do with that.
Yeah, the last time there was a strike, they were saved. They were saved because of the home run battle between Sosa and McGuire and everything else, and that kind of really helped baseball become popular again. But how many times can a fan disappointed with the players and the owners before they say, it's enough, we'll do something else, we'll pay attention to something else?
Yep. You do have to wonder. But I guess we'll see. So
we'll see. And by the way, we do have football to look forward to starting in late April, don't we?
Yeah, the USFL is kicking off. So I know they named four of their coaches. They're supposed to name the other four here very soon. So, you know, and then I know, well, we have the XFL, I think. Is it next year they're coming back?
Yeah, there was a delay there for them. And the alternative leagues have not
Wayne
done
Johnson.
Too well the last few times, have they?
No, you know, spring football doesn't, you know, when you can't lure the big players, it just doesn't really do it, does it?
No.
So.
Well, the American Football League, they were there at the right time to have that competition and eventually caused the merger and everything else, and it's become so big and powerful that you don't see any competition coming anymore.
To be fair, the original USFL was doing very well. They were attracting star players, and it seemed like they found their niche. And then Donald Trump was a jackass and wanted to go head-to-head with the NFL and try to force a merger, and they went out of business.
Yeah, they
and that
they
was
were
all
doing
on
okay.
Trump.
Yeah. They were doing okay. They were doing okay until that happened, of course. And although I don't think they were drawing that many great size fans, they may have done 20,000-30,000 though, at some of the games.
I believe the good teams were drawing well, but the teams that weren't winning, I don't think did very well.
No,
so.
Not at all.
Yeah.
But I will be
very
interested to see how they do well this season, the USFL.
Yeah, I need you to kind of figure this out and see where you stand. I'm sure you heard or read at some point that John Lester announced his retirement after 16 years in Major League Baseball.
Yes.
Now we're talking about a guy who, you know, is a three-time World Series champion. Is he a Hall of Famer in your mind?
Yeah, I was thinking about that the other day, too, when I saw that he retired. And I think it's going to be one of these real close, possibly, yes, but it won't be easy. I mean, if he does get in, it'll be a close, very, very close to get that 75%.
Well, he's got a fantastic winning percentage. In his career, he's 200-117 with a 3.66 ERA. He pitched 2,740 innings, struck out 2,488 batters while walking 892. In the postseason, while he does have those three World Series wins, I was surprised to find out he was only 9-7, but his ERA does drop to 2.51, and it is over 154 innings. So we're talking about a lot of postseason innings. He never won a Cy Young. The highest he ever finished was second. He never won 20 games, but he did win 19 games twice, and he led the National League in wins with 18 back in 2018 as a Cub.
I think he'll get in, but it will be very, very close, very tight. What's your feeling on it?
Yeah, I believed he was going to go in. Dan, I tweeted Dan about that. You can tweet Dan at Dan C. Mann. I know we've missed him here. Hopefully he'll be back soon. But, yeah, he thinks he's going to go in because, you know, the media has always been fond of him. And obviously the media votes on it. So that, you know, those are the guys who are going to get you in.
But it won't be a landslide type thing if he does get in. It'll be close. I think it'll be close.
Yeah, well, you know, and then I guess the question becomes, how long does it take him to get in? You know, I mean, does he sneak in with 75% on the first ballot, or does it take him a few years to get himself in? Because he's not eligible now till I think 2027?
Yeah, something like that. And I have the feeling that he won't make it in the first time, but I think he'll make it in the second time, third at the very latest. But I don't think he's going to make it the first time around when he does become eligible.
So, yeah, because I was kind of wondering on that where he, you know, he falls and how long he hangs out, you know, ends up hanging out on the ballot.
Yeah, I certainly don't want to see him get in on the, what's the other Hall of Fame when you, the older players getting in?
Yeah, the old-timers committee.
The old-timers, you don't want to see him getting in that way.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess my question with him is, you know, he's very comparable to Curt Schilling, and Schilling's not in. But, of course, you know, I know Schilling isn't as well-liked by the media, so.
Yeah, in all seriousness, Schilling is not a very pleasant human being, and I think that is a factor that has prevented him from going into the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah, definitely. That has definitely been a hindrance to him because, I mean, you know, you're looking at a guy who's had, you know, he had fantastic postseason success, and, you know, you wonder, let me see how his numbers look compared to Lester's. And of course, there we go. Come on, get the internet working here. Yeah, he actually won more games. He's got 216 career wins, and his ERA is better at 3.46. So he has 220 game win seasons to his credit, and he's also he's not only a three-time World Series winner, but he's got a World Series MVP. Lester had an NLCS, but so does Schilling. And in the postseason, he's actually 11-2 with a 2.23 ERA over 133 and a third innings. So in reality, his numbers are better.
Yeah. I'm going to put it to you this way. On athletic ability, toughness, really, he was a tough guy. I mean, he's very competitive and a tough, tough pitcher. He deserves to be in, but because of other things about his personality and lifestyle, he's going to have a difficult time getting into the Hall of Fame.
And, you know, he's a 3,000 strikeout guy, and he's had two seasons of 300 or more strikeouts, or actually three seasons of 300 or more strikeouts in his career. You know, yeah, I mean, I hate to say it, but his numbers are so much better than John Lester's.
Yeah, and as I say, he deserves to be in based on his athleticism and his achievements. But because of other distractions, and we can go through some of the things that he's said and done over the course of his career, and even after his career has been over with, it's going to be tough. I don't think they're going to vote him in. They just don't like him. I can't blame them.
I believe he's got one more year on the ballot. I'd say it's 10 years now. Now, last year he was at 71.1%. So he needs to go up 4% to get in. You know, he only jumped up 1.1% from 2020 to 2021. I don't know if he'll make that big of a jump to get in.
I don't think he will. And I still think it's because of the reasons I've enumerated previously. Too bad.
Yeah, because, I mean, it looks like he's got Hall of Fame numbers.
He does. Yeah, no question about it. But as a human being, let's put it this way one more time, he leaves a lot to be desired.
Yeah, terrible person. You know, I mean, it's just.
And that's why he's not in.
Just kind of.
That has to be the reason, John. I mean, that has to be the reason why a person with his stats and his toughness, his athleticism, is not in the Hall of Fame. That just, to me, is a no-brainer. That has to be the defining reason.
Yeah, you know, and like I've heard some people compare Lester to Dwight Gooden, but I don't buy that. Gooden had that run where he was great for, was it 5 or 6 years?
Yeah.
Seven years, maybe.
He was not nearly as consistent.
Yeah.
Or had the longevity that Lester had.
Well, actually, Gooden actually held on. You'd be surprised how long he actually held on. Believe it or not, he pitched 16 years in the majors, hanging on.
But he was just hanging on at that point in time, though.
Yeah. Yeah, so, but, you know, I mean, didn't, well, Lester kind of hung on last year, I guess. Even though he was good for the Cardinals after the thing.
Yeah, well, of course, I think after the season he had last year, he certainly made the right decision when he announced his retirement.
You do kind of wonder, you know, I mean, he's in the line with, you know, a guy like David Cone is another guy you could compare him to, who was only on the Hall of Fame ballot 1 year and didn't come anywhere close to getting the 5% to stay on.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very interesting when he becomes eligible. I think it's going to be a very close vote. But he's well liked, though, by them. Don't forget, he's well liked by the baseball writers and the media. Always been a stand-up guy, so that's
going to help.
Help him out a little bit.
Yeah, that is going to help greatly with getting him in. So
I'm wondering when Mark.
So and then, all right, well, we have
before one last thing. When is Marquis going to hire him to be a Cub analyst?
Yeah, you figure that's gonna happen soon, right? I mean, he'll pop up there with everybody else.
Maybe he'll have a five-man staff instead of three, right? In the baseball booth.
So, and then just to update everybody real quick, you went 2-2 on your picks last week. So you ended 95-78. We're gonna take a little break from having you make predictions, but we, you know, our official predictions, I should say. But we do have a pretty big NBA game here in Chicago tonight as the Golden State Warriors come to town. And I was kind of surprised to see that the Bulls are a 2.5-point favorite. I actually thought the line would be a little closer. What are your thoughts here? I mean, it's two teams coming off really bad losses. The Bulls got wiped out by the Nets, and the Warriors got trounced last night by the Bucks. So what happened here?
Yeah, I knew you were going to ask me that question. My first answer was going to be the Bulls are going to win the game tonight, and I'm going to stick with that. But it's interesting, and I was actually shocked when I saw the first half result last night when the Golden State played Milwaukee. My goodness, halftime, I believe I'm correct on this, Milwaukee 77, Golden State 38, and that was the end of the first half.
Yeah.
Now, you know they're going to be upset about that one. They're going to want to bounce back with a better performance. But on the other hand, of course, the Bulls want to bounce back from their humiliating loss to Brooklyn as well. So, in essence, I do think the Bulls are going to win the game tonight. Golden State's only appearance here for the entire season. But it's not going to be a blowout either way. It's going to be a very, very close, down-to-the-wire type game.
Yeah, Golden State has really struggled without Draymond Green. He's missed the last couple games. And Klay Thompson, I believe, is going to be out tonight. He's not playing back-to-backs due to his, you know, just coming back. The Bulls, of course, lost Derrick Jones. Not a huge part of their offense, but he does contribute. And Alex Caruso is still out. So we'll see how that kind of works out. But yeah, I don't know. Do they go over the 224.5 point total they have set here? You know, Golden State has struggled to score lately.
I think it won't be a super high scoring game today. I'm figuring something like maybe between the two of the teams, maybe 220 points.
So they'll be right there, just not over?
Yeah, I don't think they'll go past that. I think it'll be, by NBA standards, by today's NBA standards, I think it'll be something like a 112-108 game.
Yeah, and that is the first game on ESPN tonight. I know we get it locally. They're gonna, you know, we're gonna get to watch it on. I don't know if it'll be blacked out on ESPN.
Yeah, it's funny how that happens sometimes. Sometimes we can watch the game on both feeds, and other times it's blacked out.
Yeah. So and but then
if the game starts a half hour earlier than usual, though, correct?
6:30. So, and then the second game has on ESPN tonight has Dallas at Memphis, and you know, Memphis is currently the hottest team in the NBA, I believe.
Haven't they won about 11 in a row? Aren't they in an 11 game winning streak?
11 in a row.
Yeah.
So you got to figure Memphis is going to win this game.
Yeah, well, Dallas does have Luka Doncic back, so that'll help them.
It'll help them, but don't forget that the game is going to be played in Memphis.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, the only other, yeah, the next closest team with a winning streak is 4 in a row, and that's the Charlotte Hornets.
Yeah, Memphis has been awfully solid this year. They're playing very well, very good top-notch basketball.
Kind of surprising. You know, they've played really well. I didn't
know that team, but they're really playing great.
Yeah, I guess I should have known this. They're actually the smallest market in the NBA. And to be fair, I still struggle with them being in the Western Conference. I know they were originally Vancouver, and that's how they ended up there. But having Memphis in the West just makes me goofy.
Yeah, there's some strange geological phenomenon in the NBA. Any truth to Jerry Lawler being a guest referee tonight at the game?
It wouldn't surprise me. But, yeah, you know, Memphis has the third best record in the Western Conference right now.
They do. They're,
you know, and
the
on the other end of that, well, Memphis
the
is
have the best record in the league.
If you're a fan of the Orlando Magic, you've got 10 in a row.
Yeah.
No.
Does Phoenix have the best record in the NBA at the moment?
Yeah. Yeah. Phoenix is 1, Golden State is 2, and then the Bulls come in 3.
Yeah, the Bulls have been really a surprise team this year, and I think you were very astute when you said before the season started, you mentioned that the Bulls have made some savvy acquisitions and they're going to be a lot better this year. But of course, I don't think anybody expected them to be as good as they've turned out to be so far.
Yeah, no, I didn't have them being this good. You know, I figured they'd be a playoff team and probably finish around, you know, 5 or 6. But they've been quite a surprise, along with Miami, who's only 2 games behind them.
Yeah, Miami.
You know, they
awesome. Really well.
So
I'm wondering when the Bulls will get Caruso back, because he is a nice player to have on your team.
They're playing Wednesday.
He'll be back for Wednesday's game, is what the report I thought today was.
Okay. Okay, because, he's a great spark boy to have on your team. I mean, you may not see it in the putting up the points, but he is a hustler and really helps the ball club.
So, yeah, he's never going to be a great scorer, but that's not his job.
No.
You know, that's fine.
Yeah, but they have made some terrific acquisitions. was really, I turned the game off. They had that late game on. I think it was started at about 9:15 when they played Brooklyn.
Yep.
It was a close 2-point game back and forth for a long time, and I turned it off for some reason in the, maybe midway through the third quarter. It was still a 3 or 4 point game, and they got absolutely annihilated towards the end of that game.
Yeah. Well,
you know, the big thing for the Bulls is DeMar DeRozan has been a much better free agent signing. You know, they took some heat for signing him, and he's been very good.
Yeah.
So
he's an all-star. He's got to be on the first team all-star for the East.
Yeah, you got to think DeRozan and LaVine go to the all-star game, right? I mean,
you would think, no question about it. Yeah, he's been a tremendous acquisition for them. As you pointed out, there wasn't a lot of heat the Bulls took. But he's 32?
Yeah.
So he's got a lot of basketball left in him.
You know, Coby White seems to be playing better. I still don't know if he deserved to be that high of a draft pick. But, you know, he's played well, and they've gotten good minutes out of Lonzo Ball. You know, he's another guy. He'll never live up to being the second pick in the draft, but they don't need him to, so this may be the spot for him.
I read some reports that the Bulls, some people are speculating that the Bulls would consider trading Coby White for maybe a power forward, but I would hate to see that happen.
Well, Io DeSumo has played well as well when he's been given a chance, so they need a power forward with Patrick Williams out, and now, Jones hurt. So they could use a guy to fill that spot, especially a guy who can rebound, because Vujicic, they don't have really anybody who can rebound.
Yeah, one of their biggest flaws, and boy, they get crunched on the boards almost every game, and that could really hurt you, especially in the playoffs.
You know, that's their big negative. So, if there's a power forward out there who, just can get some rebounds, it might be worth their while to make a deal like that. And I'm sure they would get more. They would probably get a draft pick thrown in as well. That wouldn't surprise me at all with the way they throw draft picks around.
Hey, you never know how these things work out. They might be able to get a good power forward for White, but you don't know how that would affect the chemistry of the team, too. So that's a certain intangible factor that has to be taken into consideration.
Yeah, but once Caruso comes back, that's going to diminish White's minutes. So,
yeah, I've been impressed with the kid from Illinois and a Chicagoan too, and he is a pretty down to earth kid. By the way, he's very articulate. I don't know if you ever heard him on the interviews and. He's a well-spoken kid and quite humble, and he's really impressed me so far in his limited minutes with the Bulls, which he picked up. So, he's a good player.
New one goes up there tomorrow. Of course, all you're going to hit the link to get yourself over to the Facebook page. You're not going to be over there for a little bit better. Don't forget to Twitter feed, which is @SportsTimeRadio. If you're going to put your list up on Twitter as well, I'm going to have both accounts, TimeRadio. Now, if you came by here and you're listening to us live, well, thank you for doing that. But if you missed out, head on over to TuneIn.com and you can listen to us anytime you want. I'm going to try to get that back Monday by myself, so hopefully you'll meet me here.